Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I am Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you very much, Audrey. We could not do it without you. And once again, you got us connected on time. A lot of stuff going on the Blog Talk Radio homepage while we're loading up here, but it always works out fine. As a matter of fact, we just completed a survey that BTR sent us. And I think, Mike, did you do the same survey? Yes, as a technical advisor. And we gave them the highest rating that you can get. After all, they are one of the top WebWare 100 websites in the world. But fascinating, fascinating website. Thank you very much, Audrey, for getting us on. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a full moon night, and I started feeling it yesterday. Lots of things went wrong, and I feel it today, definitely. I don't know how many, some astrologist or a mathematician could figure out in about 3 years how many full moon Thursdays we've had when we've done the radio show, but don't laugh. I can feel it. I'm your host, Keith Haley, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to thank Johnny Cash for taking us across the country again on that marvelous trip where he visits more than 90 cities and states. Emily, thank you for helping us out tonight. Lots of news stories, and you've previewed those and edited them for me so that I can make some sense out of them. Welcome to the show again, and our purpose is to discuss news, events, issues, and developments in the always difficult and sometimes humorous practice of criminal justice. We have a little bit of all that tonight. Let me jump ahead and just mention what we're going to do. We're going to play an interview that was conducted by Alex Jones from Prison Planet Radio. I don't know if you ever heard of Alex. He is a little bit aggressive. But what he's doing, he's interviewing Chief Jack Schmidick, who's the chief of police, county police in Bergen County, New Jersey, was. And they're going to be talking to him about Vera chips or spy chips. We've already done one whole show where we used a lot of Catherine Albrecht's material from her book, Spy Chips. But he is the first police chief in the country, and I think one of only several hundred people at the time who's actually been chipped. In other words, he's had a chip implant put in himself. And he mentions that this is something good. He's doing it for health records, but he is advocating that all of us that do any kind of buying and selling should have one of these little rice-sized, maybe two rice-grain chips put under our arm somehow, and then all of our business can be transacted and who knows what else. Of course, this week, RFID readers can do a lot of other things with that chip too. So anyway, it'll be interesting to hear a police chief talk about that. When Alex asked him about, well, do you trust the government? The chief comes back with a good line. He says, I am the government. Anyway, you are on Blog Talk Radio, and our show is dedicated to the tireless police, courts, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals that serve us throughout the world. And I couldn't mention all the different capacities that these folks serve in, but it's absolutely marvelous. And a lot more police are doing advising overseas and in Iraq and Afghanistan and that type of thing. So there are lots of opportunities available overseas for that type of enterprise. This is brought to us by Alan Levy, who's the CEO of Blog Talk Radio and its founder, and he's the genius behind the medium, as I always say. And you can catch his show every morning. I think it comes on at 9 o'clock, and hear him talk about that, and once in a while he's a guest on Fox News and some other places like that. But think of what's possible with Blog Talk Radio. And who did I see? Did I mention Maxine Waters last week? Yeah, she has a BTR show, I think, not just a guest. I believe it's her own show. I wouldn't be surprised the president will have one very shortly. He's got his YouTube channel and all sorts of things. Why not a BTR radio channel? But anyway, any person, any interest group, no matter what that interest group is, as long as it's acceptable to BTR, can have their own show and they can broadcast live in streaming audio over the internet worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners, and the cost is absolutely free. You can sign up. In fact, that was one of the survey questions. How soon after you signed up did you book your first show? And one, the first choice there is immediately. You can actually sign up a show and start it almost immediately when you get on BTR. So if you want to do that, certainly get on there and do one. Try it out. See what you do. It's a good way to chat with your friends also in sort of a gang type of conversation. Well, tonight, Audrey has another blonde joke. Those who might be joining us for the first time should realize that Audrey is a blonde. She's from London, England, and she's been a collector of blonde jokes since her childhood. She has a trunk full of them, and tonight she's pulled out a really good one. And this one tonight, Audrey, is in commemoration of what? Does football season start tonight or this weekend or something? I think they have some type of bowl coming up, and then they have their preseason type of games. I don't watch football. I used to. But anyway, Audrey's got a joke tonight about blondes and football. I think that's what her joke is about. Is that it? No, it isn't. Your joke tonight's about the Doors. We did football last week. Okay. All right, the Doors. I don't think I've heard this one. Go ahead.
Professor Haley. Tonight's blonde joke is back to the airlines business, and those blonde jokes are always funny. Here's our blonde joke for this evening. I hope our listeners enjoy it. An airline captain was breaking in a new blonde stewardess. The route they were flying had a layover in another city. Upon their arrival, the captain showed the stewardess the best place for airline personnel to eat, shop, and stay overnight. The next morning, as the pilot was preparing the crew for the day's route, he noticed the new stewardess was missing. He knew which room she was in at the hotel, and called her up wondering what happened. She answered the phone, crying, and said she couldn't get out of her room. "You can't get out of your room," the captain asked. "Why not?" The stewardess replied, "There are only three doors in here," she sobbed. "One is the bathroom, one is the closet, and one has a sign on it that says, 'Do not disturb.'"
All right. That's one of my favorites. Three doors, and one of them says, "Do not disturb." Can't get through that one. That's a great one. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on a much more serious note, in fact, one of our stories tonight is about, again, the continued increase in sale of firearms, but particularly the increase in requests to get CCW states or licenses in the 46 states that actually permit that. And license applications are up literally 100% in a couple of these states, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the Ohio Coalition Against Firearms has a message here for the street thugs and criminals that they should not be using carrying firearms and they're hoping that they will turn them into the police after hearing this public service announcement.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, thank you very much, Ohio Coalition. It certainly is a deadly idea, and we hope that that message falls on the right ears, and they will turn from their life of crime, although we do know that some have not, based on our news stories tonight. This is a pretty good one to start off with. I think we put this in the crazy news category. Have you heard about the thief? This is a guy in Australia that he steals a car, and he takes the car and parks on a car wash, and he falls asleep. They say the 30-year-old drove his Audi convertible, or excuse me, not his, drove someone else's Audi convertible into an automatic car wash in the early hours, and then the guy nods off. He goes to sleep. A service station attendant saw this happen later on at 3 a.m. He noticed that this car hadn't moved for about an hour. It doesn't take that long to get a car wash unless you're getting a real good one or they're not very good at it. So anyway, he reports this to the Metro cops, and they come out, and we're not talking about a genius here with this criminal, because the car has two different license plates on it, and that it had been reported stolen way back in July. They woke the man up, fortunately, and arrested him on charges of illegal use and theft of a car. Isn't that incredible that you would park your stolen car in a car wash? I find that almost amazing. Here's another one I think is really, really interesting. Let me do something here with our news story. I guess it isn't going to work. Can't do that. Okay, so let me move on down here to this next story. This is about a bank robber that, you know what he did? This is a guy in Pennsylvania who had served 6 years for robbing a bank in southern New Jersey. He's been arrested now this past week for robbing the same bank. He gets out of prison. He did 6 years. 45-year-old John Millison of Drexel Hill, PA. He's arrested by the FBI and state and local police on July 27 for the robbery of a PNC Bank branch in Upper Township near Ocean City. So he's also been charged with robbing a supermarket pharmacy the same day. So, boy, he's sounds like he's not very successful. Sounds like he gets caught a lot. But remember our bank robber we talked about from the FBI's website, the serial bank robber who's got away with, I think, 90 bank robberies, and they've got videos of him all over the place, and they still haven't caught him. That's just incredible. This is kind of an interesting thing. I've never been on a cruise, but I know people have been on cruises. And what cruise ships often did, and cruise line companies, is they sort of hid their crime rates. Don't be particularly angry at them, because other places have done the same thing. It took about four pieces of federal legislation to get colleges and universities to accurately report their crime rates, and they're required to do that now, or they're subject to losing federal money and other kinds of things. I guess you're actually violating the law if you don't do it. But the cruise ships now, this would force them, well, it's not done yet. The legislation's headed for the full House and Senate votes, but it would force cruise lines to carry rape investigation kits and publicize records of crimes that occur at sea. A House committee on Thursday unanimously approved the Cruise Vessel Security and Safety Act. An identical Senate bill was cleared earlier, and they're going to do the full vote on it before the August recess, which I think occurs tomorrow or starts tomorrow evening, so they have to move fast. Senator Kerry and Representative Don Matsui started investigating this type of crime years ago, and I was shocked to find out, I knew something about this, but not a lot, that lots of these rapes are conducted by ship employees, and from families with loved ones, they complain because their loved ones were lost at sea. Eeks. I remember hearing about a few of those where somebody was dumped over and they don't know what happened to them, but apparently there's criminal involvement in quite a few of these things. Well, here's what's happening on the gun business right now. This article out of USA Today says here that you have to have a catchy opening phrase that the gun owners are packing heat in record numbers, and they're fearing stricter gun control by the current presidential administration. They're going to issue many, many more CCW complaints in all the states but Illinois. I mean, licenses all the states but Illinois and Wisconsin allow concealed carry, and the requirements differ, of course, in various states. Some it's pretty easy. I think in Indiana, still you sort of get out and play $30 or $40, and they do a record check, and away you go. That one makes sense to me, actually, having gotten a CCW license in a couple of states. Texas is the most rigorous by far. Anyway, what's happening is these things are really up. They give an example here in Clay County, Missouri, where the sheriff's office has received 888 applications through June, compared with 863 in all of last year. But what happens in these, when the state passes the law, there's a surge. And then the numbers sort of go down because people have a license that are going to get them, and it's good for 4 years or 6 years or something like that. But the sheriff there is just kind of amazed in that. He said it used to be that these used to be middle-aged men. He says now they include grandmothers, older folks, young women, young men, and they're worried about the bad economy and thefts and break-ins and things like that. But, of course, they're also worried about more gun control. President Obama has said, and he just signed a law that will allow guns in national parks. I think they put a little twist on it, though, where the local states are going to have some more authority or something like that. Don't quote me on that. I'm not an authority on that law. I should take a look at it and see what it says exactly. But it looks like this is going to be the case, and they're just fearful that the Democratic-controlled Congress, according to the article, will enact more gun control. And it will make guns harder to get. And this comes from Andrew Arulana. What's that name, Mike? Anyway, Andrew, from a spokesman for the National Rifle Association. Wow, that is a tongue twister. Ladies and gentlemen, tell me how to pronounce this one. It's Arulanandam. Arulana Dam. Something like that. Okay. But the demand is up. They talk about Florida, the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, which processes these, hired 61 temporary workers to tackle a backlog in applications. Isn't that incredible? You've got 75,520 apps through June on pace to beat last year's record of 90,331. Caldwell, North Carolina, there's another little example, 358 applications in the first half of this year, compared with 135 the same period last year. Utah, and what's unique about Utah, Mike? You know, don't you? In terms of CCW, yes. Students and faculty may carry their concealed firearms on university campuses. Oh my Lord, how could something like that happen? Think of the bloodbath that would occur. Guess how many people have been shot? Yes, zero. And I can't understand why people that oppose CCW licenses don't look at something like that and realize that people do not go get a concealed carry license. Don't get me wrong, there are a few revoked and suspended each year, and relatively a few in each state, but it's minuscule. That might be an interesting radio show to do, wouldn't it, Audrey? I just kind of count them up and see what's going on in the various states. But the guns in Ogden has offered more training courses. This is a company. He said last year a typical class would have 15 to 20 people in it. He says right now, after the election, he says we've had as many as 55. So the business must be really, really good there. You know, I'm a big fan of the taser. People probably realize that because we've done at least a couple shows with excellent taser instructors on, master instructors, relatively few of those actually in the nation. That we've had on as radio guests. But Here's a case from Wyoming. I can't imagine. A 76-year-old Wyoming man was shot with a taser by police while driving an antique tractor in a small town parade. He said it hurt. He said, but he's okay. He did have a heart condition, but he didn't require any kind of medical attention. You know, you never know what goes on in these little instances, so I don't second guess what the cops did without having all the information. Here I have almost none, but it said that the officer used a taser on the man after he disobeyed orders. They say the tractor may have hit a car. Two officers were placed on paid leave, and state agents are investigating, but the police chief says it doesn't appear that the police violated any kind of policies. But you always think of something like that. Well, was a taser absolutely necessary? And I'm not sure in all circumstances as a compliance weapon it's that useful, but maybe they were doing it to stop him from hitting a car or something like that. So it's a complicated issue, but it's a wonderful device. And I think we mentioned last week on the radio show that the taser has now been improved to the point where you get three shots. So you can actually shoot without reloading. You can actually shoot the same person or three different people, I guess, is the idea, with a taser. Absolutely amazing. Taser's a fabulous company. If you've never looked at their website, go ahead and take a look at it. Very scientific outfit, super professional in marketing and training and taking care of liability issues. And an officer was telling me today, he was doing a research project on taser use in suburban police departments, that Taser will even send attorneys in cases where they are contested. That's fabulous, isn't it? Something like that can happen. I think I'll hold off on this news story. It's kind of a long one involving emergency plans and preparations for colleges and universities. And here's one that is just almost stunning. In fact, it's a record breaker in terms of the number of inmates from a state prison that are required to be released. A panel of federal judges in California this Tuesday, 2 days ago, ordered that the inmate population of California must be reduced by 40,000, roughly 27%, within 2 years. So they're going to let 40,000 prison inmates out of the California prison system. And they're doing this because the courts have been after them for years about making the healthcare system adequate. And they say that the healthcare system there causes the poor healthcare, unconstitutional prison healthcare system causes about one unnecessary death a week. Well, you might be able to say that about a lot of healthcare systems. I don't want to get into the new plans for our federal and combined health system that they're talking about now in Congress. Very complicated, but in a scathing 184-page court order, they say the state has failed to comply with all these previous orders. They need to get something done. They've got 45 days to come up with a plan on how they're going to meet, they're going to do this release. But that is very unusual for doing that. And Attorney General Jerry Brown, who they think is going to run for governor again, yes, Jerry Brown was governor once before, wasn't he? He intends to appeal the ruling. Eventually, we're going to have to go to the Supreme Court because I think the California prisons are spending about $14,000 per year per inmate, adding that the changes the judges ordered would cost more money, which the state does not have. And $14,000 is relatively high, I think, on inmate. Well, maybe not. In fact, I'll take that back. It's relatively low because some states think at one time Minnesota spent the most. Must be that wonderful Norwegian, Scandinavian influence where they're so kind, but I think they were double some states. Arkansas was the least spender in terms of prison inmate costs. But the three-judge panel describes a chaotic system where prisoners were stacked in triple bunk beds in gymnasiums, hallways, and day rooms, where single guards were often forced to monitor scores of inmates at a time, and where inmates' illnesses were, inmates would die because of lack of treatment. you know, the triple bunks doesn't sound that bad, does it? Anybody that's been in the armed forces travel on a ship, they've been on those bunks about six high, I think. And homeless people in shelters, you know, sleep in all kinds of places. But we do want safe care and regenerative conditions for our prison inmates. So keep in mind, some do reform themselves and come out and live a good life. But anyway, they're saying here in this court case that they're absolutely bursting at the seams. And I find that really incredible. This last news story is going to be our green tip for the night. And we, about a month ago, we started giving you a green tip. And I would recommend getting the book 1001 Ways to Save the Planet. But this one, I think, is almost off the page in terms of sanity. Now, these are scientists that are just doing their scientific thing. For you people who are looking for some ways to reduce your carbon footprint, they're recommending that one radical idea is to really have fewer children. The studies done by the Oregon State University concluded in the United States the carbon legacy and greenhouse gas impact of an extra child is almost 20 times more important than some of the other environmental friendly practices people might employ during the entire year, like driving a high mileage car, recycling, using energy efficient appliances and light bulbs, etc., etc. So if you want your good light bulbs back, you want to drive a Corvette or some type of SUV, all you have to do is have one less child. And they've even calculated the amount of energy or this will save. oh my gosh. It says under current conditions in the United States, for example, each child ultimately adds about 9,441 metric tons of carbon dioxide to the carbon legacy of an average parent, about 5.7 times the lifetime emissions for which an average person is responsible. Of course, they go on to mention that there are places in the world, the United States, we have the worst carbon footprint, I mean, as individuals. They say in other parts of the world, the carbon footprint is maybe, a half or even a third or a fourth of what ours is. Of course, they're, you know, they may be running around in loincloths and sleeping in a cave, but they're saying that, I guess they're suggesting that this is something to be admired. But the United States, we're the leader, and how guilty we must feel. He says other offbeat environmental impacts have been in the news recently, according to the article. It says one 2007 study showed that divorce squanders resources, because people who once shared resources, such as energy, now use twice as much because they live under two roofs. The current obesity epidemic may also be hurting the climate, because food production is a major contributor to global warming. So if we could produce less food, just stop eating, think of what that would do to keep the planet cool. I will point out, which I did, I believe, last week on the radio show, that New York City in June and July has only had 2 days where it has been warmer than Fairbanks, Alaska. so much for global warming, at least this week. Here's another story. I think I'll talk about that next week, where a bank teller gets fired for chasing down a robber and capturing him. It's the second time the guy's done it. He did it in another type of employment, but he gets fired for doing that. So what we're going to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on the featured guest part of the show, we've done a show on spy chips. And, of course, these are RF radio frequency identification chips that can be implanted on people, or they can be placed on little cards. But the VeriChip company that's housed in Florida, the manufacturing company, actually has a chip that can be implanted. They do this with pets. They do it with people, some people with medical records. And then an RFID reader can identify a identification code. It's either 6, 8, or 9-digit code. Then that code can immediately open up a person's medical records, so they don't have to look for them. So no matter where they are, someone's medical records could actually be identified and know, give us guidance on, better treatment when they have to go to the hospital. So There's all kinds of implications to this. Go to Catherine Ulbrich's site, spyships.com. She has another website that's very informative also with some of her interviews on it. You can Google that, Catherine Ulbrich. Remember, she's a PhD from Harvard that wrote the book Spy Chips, and she has the advocacy group that's against these type of things, this type of chipping. But anyway, take a look at those. But tonight what we're going to do is listen to Alex Jones, a radio commentator, interview a police chief in New Jersey, and he's the Bergen County police chief, and his name is Jack Schmidig. And the Alex gets a little aggressive, as he does. I don't agree with everything that Alex Jones does on his radio shows, at least in terms of commentary and what I think he believes about things. But I think you'll find this interesting in what this chief is actually proposing. And he is saying that if you're into the buying and selling business, who isn't? That a spy chip and a RFID chip, a bearer chip, could be placed on your arm, and this would allow you to just walk in and out of a store. You wouldn't have to do one thing. Your accounts would be billed. Of course, data would be collected about you for other things too. But let's go ahead and take a listen to this and see what you think about it. It's a very interesting idea. And it's very odd that the police chief, this guy was the first one in America to be chipped this way. So here we go with Chief Schmidig and his interview with Alex Jones.
Covered by the Business Wire, Associated Press, you name it. Back on April 22nd, Bergen County Chief of Police, they have a Chief of Police for the county, Jack Schmidig, leads regional rollout of VeraChip by receiving a VeraChip. Now, remember last year, the Mexican Attorney General told 160-plus of his employees, and it was going to be even more, that they had to take this microchip to be able to get into secure areas. The chief is not making his employees take it, though I guess he might be recommending it. But joining us to talk about this important issue is Chief Jack Schmidig. Chief, good to have you on with us.
Thank you.
Tell us how this happened, why you got the idea, what you've done. You've got the chip. Tell us about it.
All right. It started with a dear friend of mine, Mr. Nicholas Minicucci, who's the founder of the Molly Foundation. It's a foundation for diabetes research. His daughter, Molly, has had the disease for 20 years, and I'm a member of the Board of Trustees on the Molly Foundation. Mr. Minicucci, came up with the idea through the VeraChip company of implanting a chip in your, mine is in my arm, I don't know if it can be located anywhere else, but it is readily available to obtain your medical information. When you have the chip implanted, they ask you a series of questions. Are you allergic to anything next of kin? Who do you want to have this information? All kinds of series of questions. And by scanning the chip in my arm, they have immediate access to my medical history.
When were you implanted?
April 12th.
And it got a lot of attention. Are you aware of what the Mexican Attorney General did?
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's getting big, and also I've heard from special forces that some of them have been getting the chip.
I can tell you, and maybe a sideline to this, but my German Shepherd had the a chip implanted for identification. Mine isn't for identification. It's not like a tracking device that emits a transponder that's going to follow you around. The protocol here in New Jersey will be if you're admitted to a hospital and for some reason you're incapacitated and can't provide that information, they can scan that chip in your arm and through the computer access your medical history. So they potentially can find out, you know, what's wrong with you.
Well, Applied Digital has now bought the software in a company dealing with cell towers, and they're saying with a bigger chip, they're going to be able, since you brought that up, with RFID, radio frequency identification devices, to use it as a tracking system. Were you aware of that?
No, but how big must that chip be to follow you around or have RF signals emanating
well,
from your
body? Just scan it and ping it and get the data number and then check it in the database. They're saying right now one about an inch long and about a quarter of an inch wide or even smaller, we'll be able to work up to a couple hundred feet.
Wow. Well, the chip I have in my arm is about the size of a grain of rice.
Yeah, I've seen the current VeriChip. We've interviewed the scientist that invented it. We've interviewed the CEO a few years ago. We've interviewed the Chipson family, you know, the family that the Jacobsons, I believe, that got the chip. What do the officers under your command think about this?
To be honest with you, I don't think it's gotten the recognition that it should have. I think it's an exceptional idea, and I know of one other officer who had the chip implanted, and my secretary, who's hypoglycemic, and this initially started here as a result of the diabetes research and the foundation, that Molly Foundation, she's made an appointment to have the chip implanted also.
Well, they've got the chipmobiles. These have you seen those?
No, we're in the very early stages of it here in New Jersey. I don't know what any other venue is providing.
VeriChip has these chipmobiles that go around chipping, and they have Mr. Chip. You haven't heard about that?
No.
Well, they gave the readers to some hospitals in Florida. But only a few. I mean, have they given readers to the hospitals in New Jersey?
And there's only one hospital in the state, and that's in our county doing it right now.
Interesting. Well, did you hear about in Miami and also in Spain and now Germany and England and other areas, the chip, the same chip to get into the VIP area?
No, again, they scan your arm to get into select areas. I you know, maybe potentially down the line, I could see limited access events, like maybe an inauguration ball or something like that for the president, where you might need one of these to get in, but I think we're way ahead of ourselves.
Were you approached by VeriChip to do this, or did you and your friend just spontaneously want to get a chip?
I wanted it, and while I'm on the board of trustees for that foundation, the information was brought to a trustee meeting, and I thought it was an exceptional idea, and I said, put me in, and I had the chip implanted the 12th of April, and there's no residual effects.
Are you waiting then for the readers to get into local hospitals? Because what use will it be if they're not in the local hospitals?
Well, that's true. It's going to take some time, but I'm on the cutting edge.
Oh, is your foundation lobbying the hospital?
Yes. All hospitals.
You know, we found a lot of the people like the Jacobsons and others and some of the hospitals that accepted the chip readers in the Miami and Palm Beach area actually had employees there that were investors or even part of Applied Digital, and that's why they were doing this. Are you an investor in Applied Digital?
Not at all. I have no stock in this at all.
What about, I mean, I'm just curious. So what about the individual that's on the foundation with you?
The president of the foundation, Mr. Minicucci?
Yes.
I don't believe he's a stockholder either.
So basically somebody just approached the foundation, you guys said, hey, this is a good medical bracelet, basically, implanted.
Absolutely. That was my logic behind getting mine.
Well, look, I mean, Chief, I'm going to be honest with you on my views of this.
Sure.
You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. For people like you, you know, this sounds good. Hey, this isn't, you know, you can lose a medical alert bracelet. Who wants a tattoo, you know, with all your data on it? This sounds good. Or for people with Alzheimer's, or now California Bureau of Prisons signed a contract. Reuters reported it, but then it got dropped with public scrutiny to implant prisoners, maximum security prisoners. That was 2 years ago. That got canceled. You know, there's all these arguments for it, but when you go on down the road, it sounds like revelations. I mean, people getting the microchip and all this. And Applied Digital says that I've had Applied Digital executives on, and they say, yes, you will have this for buying and selling, and everyone will, you know, in the future, take the chip. I mean, they've said it. I've got the transcripts on my website.
Well, right now, I think that's a matter of opinion. I don't believe it's Big Brother watching me.
But I'm talking about the company itself. I mean, you can type in Applied Digital says it will be used for tracking. It will be used for prisoners. Applied Digital will be used for cashless transactions. Type it into Google, Chief, and you'll find it.
Well, I'm sure those potentials are there. My intention was to protect my life, hopefully, if something happens to me where I'm incapacitated and I get taken to a hospital. I want people to know that I'm not allergic to penicillin or, you know, I'm, my next of kin is my wife, contact her immediately. Things like that. That's what I was looking at it for, and I was.
Well, if you were in a car wreck, wouldn't they know all that? You know, from your car and your plates and your.
Potentially, sure, but I think it's a great backup system. Another thing is what sold us on some of this was the, especially for the foundation, if a person goes into diabetic shock, sometimes they can look like they're drunk, and you know people don't understand what.
No, there have been a lot of cases of police thinking somebody's resisting when they're in the shock, yeah, and then tasering them. And
all of that stuff. So if you, you know, if you can get that scan, you know that this person got a propensity toward
well,
diabetes.
Well, just so you know, this isn't coming that it's here. I'm sure you've heard about the plan for national toll roads.
Yes.
I mean, that's been in Time, Newsweek, it's just USA Today. In Texas, it's about to pass the legislature. Next year, with our inspection stickers, we'll all get tracker chips that are very small that are read by radio readers. We're going to be taxed by the mile down the road. I mean, you see how this chipping of all the products, RFID, the chipping of people, I mean, it is going to the extreme right away.
In New Jersey, we have a system called Easy Pass, and it gets you down the New Jersey Turnpike and the Garden State Parkway, and as you pass through the toll booth, you have a reader in your car, a transponder in your car, and you get the bill on a monthly basis. And they can tell you at right now it's 12:45 here. At 12:45, I pass through exit 159 on the Garden State Parkway, and that information comes to you.
Man, going across from New York to you guys when I was there this summer, it was like 7 smackers.
Oh yeah, and the Easy Pass works on the George Washington Bridge. And
well, why should we turn all our roads into this? And I'm talking and see, and now it's not going to be the size of a tiny matchbox. You know, that you get at an elegant martini bar,
right.
You know, about an inch and a half long, a half inch wide. Now it's going to be a little bitty chip, sir. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, I've got that little bitty chip, but I guess I'm not, I don't see a downside for me and those people who are looking at Big Brother. I don't find that.
Well, I mean, that's what I find. I want to shift gears just because a listener emailed this to me this morning. This is not why I got you on the show, but I find it incredibly intriguing. And again, my friends, we're talking to the chief of police in the county of Bergen in New Jersey. And he's taking the implantable microchip, but I was sent this by several listeners, and it's still a hot topic. I have Fox News here in front of me. I have the New York Post. And I have the Bergen Record, the town you're in. 5 men detained as suspected conspirators by Paulo Lima, staff writer. And in here it's got a quote from you. We got an alert to be on the lookout for a white Chevrolet van with New Jersey registration and writing on the side.
Oh, that was during 9/11.
No, this is a totally separate issue. This is interesting. Suspicious Middle Easterners cheered terror attack from moving van, and then it turned out in Fox News that it was Israelis. What actually happened with that, sir?
We turned those people over to the FBI. They were thoroughly checked out and released. No charges were ever filed against those people.
But what about the witnesses that said they saw them jumping up and cheering and videotaping?
That was the information reported to us. We couldn't confirm through the witnesses. No one would identify themselves. They said that they saw this white van with several people applauding or cheering the attack on the Trade Center, and when we finally found the van, located the van, no one would step forward to verify that they were, in fact, celebrating.
Well, I've got Israeli national news here. It says suspicious Middle Eastern movers were Israelis with box cutters, European passports, and $4,000 cash. Is that accurate?
I'm not sure. I don't remember all the details of that particular case. And like I said, when we first located the van, we notified the FBI, and they came and scooped them up. The FBI and the New Jersey State Police.
How did that happen? You pulled them over, and I mean, what happened with you?
We had be on the lookout for a particular type of van. One of my patrol officers found it, located it. We pulled them over, we detained them, and then we notified the state police and the FBI, who were working a joint terrorism task force.
Were you aware of the hundreds of Israeli art students that were really spies? And they were, quote, following Al-Qaeda. This was even on Fox News and the Associated Press. And then they grabbed them, and then they were ordered to release them to Israel. Did you hear about that?
No.
Do they have any video cameras on them? I mean, and then secondarily, how many days after 9/11 was this arrest?
It was, I believe it occurred the night of 9/11. I'm not sure.
Did you find any video cameras on them?
No. I don't recall any video cameras on them. But like I said, being in the administrative position, I don't do the road work anymore, and it gets passed down to my detective captain, and unfortunately, he's not here today.
What's his name?
Captain Kevin Partnett, H-A-R-T-N-E-T.
Could I get Kevin Partnett on about that?
If he's willing to come on, I'm sure. I don't have an objection to speaking with the media.
Well, it's just, this just keeps coming up over and over again.
It was a hot-button issue. After 9/11, they wanted any kind of attention they could get, and they kept rerunning and repeating those catchphrases there. And if I Google my own name, it comes up with that quote about four or five times.
But, I mean, it's true, though, that they wouldn't talk to you. That's some pretty serious training.
Well,
and how many people do you pull over? How many were arrested?
I thought there were three or four, but I'm not sure.
You have four people that none of them talk? Boy, that's pretty, I mean, do you see that a lot?
No.
Yeah, you don't see that a lot, do you? I mean, you're usually, according to criminology, I took a little bit of it in college. I don't have a degree in it, but when you end up with one person that won't talk, you end up with two, three, four. Usually when you end up with four people, it means there's some pretty serious training going on.
Once again, I don't know their background. It was, we received some information, we stopped them, and then we turned them over to people more interested in them.
How long did they interrogate?
A police department in New, a local police department in New Jersey.
How long did you interrogate?
We didn't participate in the interrogation. They were turned over to the state
police. You talked to them and they didn't talk.
Well, we talked to them at the road stop.
And then were they brought into the jail or were they just given out over to the FBI?
I think they were taken to the FBI's field office in Newark, but I'm not sure.
What did the FBI say?
I don't know.
Have you ever asked them what came of it?
Mr. Jones, you're talking, we started on one subject, now we're on another.
I know, but I mean, I didn't put two and two together when I saw your name get the microchip, and then I start getting emails about it, and I go, oh, yeah, I mean, I remember this article. I mean, it's an interesting topic.
This was a very interesting day, September 11th, 2001, and a lot of...
Did you see the tower smoking when it happened?
Absolutely.
What was that like?
It was terrible. It was terrible.
Well, I wish we control our borders. That might keep us safe.
You have to talk to another agency on that.
No, I know. You're not even near the border, so I understand that.
I'm on the border with New York.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you spending time with us, and I hope that you wake up and see the real ramifications of the implantable microchip. Will you say no to the chip if in 10 years... The government says you've got to use this for identification when you pay for goods and services?
No.
You won't go along with that?
No, I'd go along with it, sure.
Rather than
carry my credit cards, they want to put all my information on my chip, and as I walk out the grocery store with a loaf of bread and a quart of milk,
Tell you what, Chief, we got a break. Quick three-minute break. Stay there. Just do five more minutes with us. This is just amazing information. Stay with us. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with our guest.
Hey, folks, Alex Jones here, and I'm very excited to announce the release of my bombshell documentary film, 9-1-1, The Road to Tyranny, on DVD. That's right, folks, DVD. The original film was 144 minutes long. The DVD version is 170 minutes. If you want to wake up your friends and families to the truth of what happened on September 11th, this is the film for you. The Road to Tyranny is already sending shockwaves through Washington and across the United States. You absolutely must see this DVD. It covers the history of government-sponsored terrorism, the police state and homeland security, the nightmare UN population control programs, the cashless society control grid, satellite tracking, implantable microchips, and much, much more. Bottom line, this film is waking people up. Order your copy on VHS or DVD today and man the guns of the InfoWar. Order right now by calling 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or order online at InfoWars.com or InfoWars.net. Again, that number, 888-253-3139.
black Berkey replacement elements are ideal for use in any gravity filter. These self-sterilizing filters can transform raw pond and lake water into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Ideal for travel or outdoor events, and perfect in the event of hostile filtration environments such as local or national emergencies, because they remove both harmful chemicals and pathogenic bacteria from water. So powerful, they can remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites to non-detectable levels. Try halomethane and volatile organic chemicals such as atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and NTBE are removed to below detectable limits. They reduce nitrate and unwanted metals such as lead, mercury, aluminum, copper, and foul taste like chlorine and sulfur odors. Yet the black Berkey filter elements leave in the helpful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Normally $48 each, get a 2-pack for only $91 or a 4-pack for only $173. Get the powerful black Berkey replacement filters now by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
That's right. Fighting the culture war. Right here, my friend. Just a few minutes left with the county police chief up there in Bergen County. Sir, the music was playing. Folks might not have heard what you said. I want to state that again for the record. I said, if in 10 years, and the Army documents say this is the plan, will be by 2020. That's the January 1st, 2000 report by the Army War College, that everybody's going to have a chip. And I've had the CEO, again, on a Verichip. That's the plan. I've had their distributors on from Spain, from Miami. They said the same thing. We're all going to have chips, and we're going to buy and sell with these. And the chief was saying he's not for Big Brother. He's not worried about Big Brother. But then I said, in 10 years, if they say you got to use this to buy and sell, you said, You're happy with that, Chief.
I wouldn't object to it.
I mean, if they say we have to take the chip, you wouldn't object?
No. No. If I, like I said before the break, if I went into a grocery store and bought a loaf of bread and a quart of milk and walked out and it read my chip and debited my bank account, I've worked with I don't have a problem with that.
Chief, it's either two separate things. Either you're a really nice guy who totally trusts the government and society.
I am the government.
So,
okay?
Well, hold on.
And by trusting the government, you bet your life I trust the government because I am part of government.
Okay. Either it's that, you're naive, or you're demon possessed.
Well, if you want to think that I'm naive, that's certainly your opinion.
Well, Chief, I appreciate you coming on the show, but I totally disagree with you.
Well, that's your right.
Wait a minute. So if the government says everybody's got to get chipped 10 years from now, and it's the law, you'll start arresting people that don't have it.
I won't be here 10 years from now. How's that sound? I've got a short time to go before I take my retirement and leave.
Now, of course, I mean that as a joke figuratively, but, I mean, that's kind of sounds pretty scary.
People look under rocks for scary things, too. So,
the Founding Fathers, Chief, said that we should not trust our government. We should keep it small, keep control of it. You're just saying, I am the government, I trust it, and if they say we got to have chips, we got to have them.
Is that my opinion?
Yes.
Well, then thank you.
Now, you just said that, sir. Are you saying
exactly. And it's my opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion, and Mr. Jones, you're entitled to yours. And I think, sir, that it was nice of you to have me on.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir, I am.
And you have to have this mark to buy and sell, but you're saying if that happens, you don't have a problem with it.
I don't.
So maybe you are just naive. I mean, because I'm
okay. Hey, that's your opinion too.
I'm not picking up from you that you're evil.
I am not evil.
I don't pick that up from you. I pick it up that you're just totally trusting and naive, Chief.
Okay. Mr. Jones, I think your interview with me is over.
Hey, vaya con Dios. I'm going to pray for you.
Thank you so much.
Go with God. Take care. There you had it, ladies and gentlemen. That's how deep the rabbit hole goes. We got to have a transcript of that. That is the all-time most out of control, in your face. You see? You see what we're facing? You understand what we're facing now? Get the new film, Martial Law, folks. Do not delay. Expose all of this. Expose 9/11. Expose the police state. Expose who controls it. $24.95. Second copy, $19.95. Third copy, $16.95. Fourth copy.
I think Alex Jones has a commercial interest at hand there. But anyway, it's an interesting interview with the chief, and I think I'm sure he's been schooled since, but he does exhibit some naivete about what can be done with RFID chips. For example, when he mentions he'd just go in the grocery store and buy whatever, milk and bread, and come out, and he wouldn't have to engage in any type of hand-to-hand type of transaction. What he doesn't know is the spy chip with RFID readers all over the store can also figure out where he stood in the store, what he looked at, the products he handled, other people that he stopped and talked to, particularly if they have cards with a chip on them. And the chip that he's got implanted, these things now are down to the point where like they're like the head of a ballpoint pen in terms of size. It can be put on cards, products, clothing, on and on and on. And, of course, the big processor, the big storage base for all this is NCR, or National Cash Register, and then they can collect all of this data. I mean, remember when we talked about it on the radio show, can whirl and process and organize and send out this data to people for money, and then they can use it in their advertising or whatever. And I think you're probably going to see this in the criminal justice field very shortly. It's going to be introduced as a way to control prisoners, particularly as we talk about things like we're going to have to let go 25% of the California prison population. Jump ahead only about 3 years. And by the way, Catherine Ulbricht's book, Spy Chips, is not about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's about what is going on right now with spy chips. So we're going to be chipping these prisoners, and we'll be able to track them with RFID readers all over the place. It's just incredible. Take a look at her website and Google Catherine Ulbricht's Frequently Asked Questions. She has a very good introduction there to RFID chips and RFID readers in very simple terms, because a lot of folks have very little idea in terms of what they're doing. Well, that's our show for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us, and I'm sure we'll be meeting again. Take a look at the show website and see what we'll be doing next week. And Vera Lynn's going to take us out with that wonderful song, We'll Meet Again.
Again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing song. We'll meet again, don't know where.